Hi, this is Tom Payne, otherwise known as Jesus from The Walking Dead, and you're listening to The Walking Dead Talk Through.
Hey guys, it's Jenna Elfman from Fear the Walking Dead. I play Laura. No, I play Naomi. No, I play June. I play June on Fear the Walking Dead, and you're listening to the Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through on Golden Spiral Media.
That was awesome.
Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through, episode 56. The End of Everything Review.
Welcome to Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through, a fan podcast dedicated to Fear the Walking Dead on AMC. Join us each week as we discuss the characters, story developments, and theories of Fear the Walking Dead. Send in your thoughts about each episode by calling 304-837-2278 or by visiting our feedback page at goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback. And now, here's your hosts.
Hey, survivors, and welcome to another fine episode of Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through. I'm Brian.
And I'm Kyle.
And I'm Mark.
And tonight, we will be covering Season 5, Episode 5 of Fear the Walking Dead, titled The End of Everything.
It's a trap!
I know it gets very formulaic, but you can't say the end of everything without playing shock horror, because that's the name of that. That's shock horror. This is shock horror. It's like, oh my God, the end of everything. Anyway, so before we get started with that, though, we've got some feedback from last week's episode, which is Season 5, Episode 4, as Daniel would call it. Skidmark. Anyway, I've said that enough times already like that. Here is Simon and Rick with...
We can talk about it.
We're done talking. Time to listen.
Our good friend from the internet, Aaron, has given us actually two pieces of feedback this week. So we got some feedback from her for this week's episode too. So we're going to start it off with her. She says, I'd give this episode a 7 on the whole. It's not better than the premiere episode for me, but it's close behind for this season. I thought the scenes with Daniel and Charlie were nice too. Could he be a foster father for her? I think he's forever burned by what happened to Ophelia. To use the term father, but mentor/mentee, why not? Mentee. Like minty? Anyway. All right, continuing, Mark?
He says, I'm actually surprised to hear this episode was the lowest rated so far, as I figured a Daniel-promoted episode would be high given most fans like him. I guess it just goes to show the only way to score ratings for sure with an original is to have it to be a Clark. Bring Madison on back to the show. Smiley face.
Yep.
On to the podcast. To answer your question, Brian, it wasn't just Madison as to why I watched. Madison is certainly why I stayed with the series because, oh my gosh, Kim Dickens does ambiguity better than any I've ever seen anyone do it. Yeah. You don't know if Madison is going to be your friend, your killer, or your friend before becoming your killer. That's good. The reasons I skipped The Walking Dead are because, one, I had zombie franchise with the Resident Evil movies, and two, it was already multiple seasons into its run by the time I might have jumped in, and it has a long history of conflicting schedules with other shows I watch. So, of course, I'm going to watch what I'm already into instead of The Walking Dead. And then three, she says, the promos just didn't grab me personally, so I never felt the compulsion to watch. The reason I got into Fear is because of Alicia and hearing all the hype that surrounded her and what happened on the 100. That fallout was so Fear's gain and one of the main reasons I think they have to keep her on as long as they can, because those fans will riot if anything happens to Alicia. But I did actually stay for Madison because, again, Kim just did her so well, and I had to tune in each week to see how far Madison would go.
Yeah, and I think that her character has been kind of I can't say defined, but certainly influenced by that character from the 100. Because, like, Alicia, say in season one and early season two, you know, she didn't have those like strong qualities. She was kind of a teen in the way that I've said bad things about teens in the past. And I think that she grew into a very strong character now. And I think that she's grown with Madison being gone, although I'd still like to see her be nearly as strong and Madison still around. I think that would have been a more interesting series. I would have liked to have seen Madison, you know, survive the ballpark and you know, be dealing with Morgan. I think they would have been great together, those two.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I totally agree.
But anyway, okay, so she continues. She says, Fear was also really unique in that it was about this family and in the apocalypse, and not just a family, but a family of stepkids and parents and all that came with it. It wasn't just another round of survive until the end, so it felt more unique to genre. I know TWD has Carl and Rick, but there's only so much drama you can get from that compared to the Clarks, who have one-on-one child parent stuff as well as family stuff on top of step parent stuff. There was just more to get into with the show for me. By the time season one and certainly season two rolled around, I was hearing how the Walking Dead fans felt plots were just repeating or weren't living up to the build up of the series. So I've just never had the desire to watch the original series. Eventually, when the shows merge, I may have to, depending on who's around from Fear. But until then, I'm good not watching The Walking Dead. Interesting.
She continues on saying, essay answers are all I do. Smiley face. Hashtag team rescue Dave Erickson from development hell so he can come back and rescue Fear from this takeover. Also, hashtag team bring back Madison.
I would easily join both of those teams.
Oh, same here.
And I did tell you, Aaron, we didn't need an essay answer. I should learn. Anyway, continue, Mark.
She says, I really hope Althea doesn't die over those stories. That's a big exclamation. Where's Charlie? No one cares. I won't say no one, just very few.
Well, she did say no one. But yes, I would agree with that. This kid has baggage.
Yeah. I have such mixed feelings about Charlie because, on the one hand, Alexa Nissenson, the actress playing her, is doing a really good job with the character, but on the other hand, Charlie was the tool that essentially killed Madison, so go away, Charlie. And she continues on saying, cats will never be the new thing. Team dog. Dog emoji, crown emoji, metal emoji, trophy emoji, the number one finger up emoji, and the peace sign emoji, and a smiley face emoji.
And I'll throw in.
Nice.
And it's very predictable. Well said.
Yeah.
All right. She continues on with, I would say the plane is a way to pass through the radiation zone faster, but they didn't even know about that until the season opener. So I feel the plane is just to up the action right now. Like they haven't crashed yet. So check it off the list now. I'm sure they'll manufacture a reason later in the season, but I wouldn't bet money that was the plan all along with these writers. LOL to why do you need the plane? Because we had it before. why did you have it before? Because we needed it. Okay, but why did you need it? Because it's cool. Well, stop doing that.
It's the cool thing to do.
Yes.
Yeah, and to that I say, good one. Good one.
That was awesome. All right, she continues. Daniel says inherited, but it's Daniel, so I think I'll take it more. Al met Abram based on teases from her tape, so why not Daniel?
I'm sure that'll come out later on in this season, since they're stuck in that area, so we haven't gotten past at this point. So
Yeah.
I would like to see Abraham on this show. I think it would be really amazing.
Yeah. Him and Eugene.
Yeah, but it'll be flashback, of course.
Yeah,
so
but even still, that would be a nod to the Prime show.
And the world crossing over.
Would that include Rosita?
Possibly. Maybe it was before Rosita.
Yeah, it might could be before Rosita. That would be interesting. All right.
Skidmark is better than Goose. I wonder if Skidmark is Goose.
And who's to clarify Goose? That, because yeah. Brian doesn't know, Goose was in Captain Marvel.
Oh.
And that was a cat.
Okay. Well, Goose shouldn't be a cat.
Oh, come on. It was named after Top Gun Goose.
Oh, really?
Yes. Okay.
I think Daniel could have seen Ophelia before she died, but it wouldn't have been long. And he couldn't have saved her, which I think is what Daniel really desired. He thinks if they were faster, maybe he could have saved her. But yeah, in the grand scheme, nothing was going to change no matter what Strand did or said. Daniel may have gotten a few moments with her, but would she be conscious to hear whatever he said? I don't know. I totally get Daniel being angry with Victor, but I don't think anything would have changed. Grand scheme of things, it sucks for poor Daniel. Yeah, I mean, I think it's, like I say, I don't think it's because she died. I think it was because it just was wasted effort. I mean, maybe there would have been something that would have triggered it so that he would have, you know, seen them earlier. But the fact that he didn't get a chance to because he ended up, you know, going back to the hotel. Like, it was malicious what he did. And he was manipulative, which I think in the end, it's not the fact that he took her away. It's that he was so manipulative. And I think that's what ultimately he was upset about, knowing the fact that if this one little thing had changed, maybe they would have seen each other. I don't know. All right. So that's it for last episode. So moving on to this episode, which is season 5, episode 5, titled The End of Everything, was written by the showrunners Andrew Chambliss and Ian Goldberg, and directed by co-executive producer and basically the producer in charge of directing, Michael E. Satrazimus, no stranger to this show, and of course, longtime director of The Walking Dead. The description is, Althea chases a story with dogged determination, putting the mission and her life in danger. And of course, we have to play. Although I was tempted to say,
What?
They both work.
Mark, what did you think of The End of Everything?
I gave it 8 out of 10 CRM helicopters.
And I gave it an 8.5. These boots were made for rock climbing out of 10.
All right. And I got to say, you know, I always say that a show has to be at least a 7 for me to keep wanting the podcast. So yeah, it did get a 7. It actually got a 7.5. 7.5, Seth Check Pergakis. And I had to go back and listen to it a couple of times to get it right. But I could also give it 7.5 cliffs we hadn't seen before. Because I got to ask, guys, where did that come from?
It just happened to be there.
Yeah.
So I got to say, like, I thought the performances of this episode were pretty strong, you know, like Maggie Grace and I don't remember the name of the actress that played Isabel. I thought they were really strong. So I give that just by itself 1.5. But if it hadn't been that way with those two being as strong as they were, this would have been a 6 for me. I got to say, I didn't care for this episode, really. All right. So moving on, Mark, why don't you start with our listeners?
Alex from New Jersey gives it 8 out of 10 fork-added guns.
And Aaron from the internet gives it a solid 8 reporting badasses out of 10, but ignoring shipping bias. I feel it's a solid 9. Bring on the Alicia Thea Isabel. I think that's what her name was. Triangle out of 10.
In fact, it was her name, Isabel. Dieta from Detroit says, I rate this episode 7 out of 10. Let's go rock climbing in the apocalypse.
And Glennis from Toronto gives it 8 out of 10 vertical limits.
All right, so let's move on to Awesome Sauce.
Awesome Sauce!
Aaron from the internet says, Althea just everything Althea. She is arguably my favorite character currently on the series and certainly within the top 3.
Indeed.
Indeed. Dieta from Detroit, I guess Al's Walker kills on the rocks. Big smiley face, big smiley face.
Certainly something we've never seen before.
Uh-huh.
Glynis from Toronto has 3. She says, the landslide was well done with Al wisecracking that you never stay in the car. That was actually good.
I like that, yeah.
Yeah. The cliff climbing with Isabel and Al making that leap of faith to attach the hook after she killed the walker. And then her third one is enjoyed the hookup and tie in with the previous episode near the end when Isabel had the cans of fuel and then put them down to kill the walkers. She was watched by the 2 kids in the previous episode. And then, of course, at the end of the episode, when the chopper flew off Morgan, Alicia and company had watched it leave in the previous episode. Yeah, I thought that was good.
Yeah, it's like I remember some parts of this, but then I kind of heard it elsewhere, so I wanted to kind of bring it up. It's like I liked having that jump back to, you know, scenes that we'd already seen, but it also, like, it does give us this timetable now of like how long things have been happening. Because you remember there's like 72 hours for the reclamation crew that were going to get there. For, you know, so there, you know, that whole time was within the 72 hour period.
Yeah.
And so then we have to think about, okay, so we just saw the part when, Isabel was killing those walkers was the viewpoint of where those kids, you know, were hiding and, you know, from her. So we have kind of an idea that what we've seen from beginning the first episode on, like, we've been here about probably what, maybe 4 days or something like that.
Something
so
like
it's that. Yeah, so it's I don't know, I thought it was nice to, like, we have a kind of an idea about how long, because, you know, sometimes the shows can, you'd be like, wait, how long it's been going on, you know, you like you end up losing, like, they could have been there a week or, you know, or who knows. So the show finally is giving us information that they should have gave us a long time ago.
Was it 3 days or was it a day? Because I we know it wasn't the full 72 hours, but I wasn't really sure.
I think it was 3 days.
So were the reclamation crew on their way and she just they just called them off and they're sending
No, because when
back,
she was whatever. On the rock, she, like, when they got up to the fuel depot, that was the last 24 hours. So them getting to the rock and doing the rock climbing, getting to the cars was 1 day. And she was like, hey, let's have, you know, set up camp. And they had that tent, which was up in the trees or whatever they call that thing. So, yeah. So there was 72 hours-ish of just Althea and Isabel doing their thing. But then that 72 hours counts into basically, or, you know, Morgan and all them finding the kids and doing all their stuff. So
and June and...
Yeah, and
Dory.
John.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's kind of nice to kind of give an idea.
And eventually we'll get a time jump.
Yep. kind of makes you miss the Carol baking the cakes. Or the cookies. Yeah.
Cookies, yes.
All that happened within one oven setting of...
yeah, 45 minutes.
Yep.
Yeah, look at the flowers, Kyle. Look at the flowers.
All right. As far as our own awesome sauce, Mark, what do you have?
Well, finally getting to see Althea's story of when she was away. I really missed her. I love that character. And finding out that Al is possibly a lesbian. It wasn't really confirmed, but I like the thought. We need some LGBTQ in this series as well.
With all due respect, Mark, it wasn't really confirmed. Really? What did you need to have it confirmed?
Oh, come on. That's a stereotype. Leave that alone.
Well, anyway, I certainly got that she was, you know, whether or not she was a lesbian, she certainly liked girls. I mean,
yeah,
it was pretty obvious that there was a thing, but I don't mean any offense to anyone. Like, I'm thinking of you, Aaron, but I thought the fact that she's a lesbian was a little predictable because of her haircut. And I say that cringing because I'm like, somebody's going to take offense to that. It's okay that she is a lesbian. I mean, that's fine. It was one of those things. It's kind of like, well, you know, she's got short hair. It was kind of a stereotype is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Wasn't terribly surprised about this, but at the same time, I would have been accepting of it if Isabel had been, you know, Izzy, and Izzy was a dude or something. I don't know. You had one other thing?
Yeah, a true story between Al and Isabel. You know, that was something that I really enjoyed. It was very genuine as between the give and take relationship and how they were kind of connecting. Both were very... I have to say, very much into what they are doing, you know, with Al and her reporting everything, and with Isabel and having to complete her mission. They're very convicted to what they need to do. You know, they have to do what they do. Mm-hmm. And it shows that they are connecting.
Yeah, and I think it just kind of, it's one of those things that regardless of everything that has happened since, you know, the fall, that there's, you know, there's still humanity and there's still, you know, hope. And, you know, like these two people are on total opposite sides. You know, Isabel is on with this group. She has her mission, would basically kill anybody on site if they even like got any information from her. But, you know, we have the humanity of like, oh, you know, like we can relate to someone who's on the other side. She knows what she's been, you know, the struggle. I think her seeing that tape, the bar, you know, of Al's tape or whatever, losing her brother, but she went for the story. To me, that's like, I feel like that's what the writers and stuff were doing. They were trying to, that's, you know, she changed her mind because she wasn't just seeing everything as in black and white. She was like, you know, these people are surviving too. And she's trying to keep these stories alive, even though it might be for nothing.
Mm.
So I don't know. I liked it too. That's what I think made this episode actually work like really well.
Interesting. Okay, Kyle, you have?
Yeah, because I know a lot of people kind of have some of the, you know, just with the comments and all that stuff. It's like, I just like loved at the end was when Al, like after her whole ordeal, like, it's just the way she said more new people when she saw the hordes of kids at the end. I just felt like it's like she was facing like, I don't know. I felt like at the end of this, she was facing kind of the reality that she's giving up her drive for this, you know, gathering stories after dealing with Isabel. That it, you know, cause I don't know. I feel like with this, no, the two, what do we call it? This new three-ring circus grand plan of humanity that you were just now finding out that, you know, there's some other group that has some other bigger deal going on. I felt like Al kind of started letting down her barriers, losing, like, I can't chase the stories anymore. There's like something else going, or maybe, you know, whatever it is. But then seeing those kids, she's like, oh, more new people? Like, it's almost like she could. She can still continue to do that because she loves new people and she has like 20 kids now.
She loves what?
New people. I like new people.
I just loved it. The way she said it and everything, I thought it was awesome.
Well, I have a different opinion on these matters, so we'll get to that later. I'll just say, as I said in my rating, that I did appreciate the performance of them. There's something that Alex that says in his voicemail that I really agreed with, and we'll get to that later. Of course, I'll have something to say about it when we hear it. And I'll just say that I did really like the end with them meeting up with Morgan and Alicia and kind of tying things together, and her kind of dropping her guard a little bit. And although I do have an issue with that, that'll get into it later. But I don't know. I'm looking at the things that you guys just didn't work for me. Sorry.
That's okay.
That's
okay. Yeah, we'll get to it in a bit. Let's go to weak sauce now.
You're worthless and weak.
Glynis from Toronto says, Apocalypse hairdressers are front and center by the looks of it, as Al's hair on a number of occasions was coiffured perfectly when she was down in the grit and being stomped on by Isabel. Laugh out loud.
That is something that I have no comeback for, because of course we've noticed it with Alicia. She's had
perfect hair all the
time. We have seen a few times lately where she hasn't had perfect hair, but yes, I would say that exactly how is Althea getting that, that designer haircut? I would expect at this point she will have something similar to a Daryl haircut.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, exactly. Like, who's the barber of this group?
But I
she
really
might bathe more than Daryl does. But
yeah, I can't really talk about hair because I don't have any. And as many of you have seen on the Facebook page, yeah, I took a picture with Kelly Fleming this weekend, and yeah, I have no hair.
That's okay. You're our Picard.
All right. Next, Aaron from the internet. She says, of course, their car is where the second rock slide occurs. Can you say plot for plot's sake?
And I specifically decided to read Dieta's weak sauce. And Dieta, just so you know, I pretty much gathered up all of your points and put it down in weak sauce, although I don't know if you intended it that way, but it pretty much read that way. So she says, I don't know what to say about this episode. I really didn't like it. The whole Al and her camera centered episode, why? And what did we learn from it? Oh yeah, Al's last name and that she likes girls. Triple shrug, followed by an emoji. Three shrugs. So she gets taken by some strange lady who wants the tape, but ends up helping the lady get fuel for the chopper after getting a gun pulled on her, knocked upside the head, tied up several times. Sure, I will help you get fuel for the chopper. And then she tells Al, you must never tell anyone about us. What the hell? I'm telling everybody everything that happened. And I would have to say something similar, Dieta. I'm like right lock step with you on this. It's like, I really didn't understand this story. I realized that it worked for a lot of people and it seemed to work for you guys. But how did Al go from being a hostage to helping to basically falling into a crush, yet still have a gun pulled on her before they kiss passionately. I can say that I really didn't like this episode at all either, aside from the portrayal. I like I said, I thought the acting was like the saving grace of this, but yeah, it didn't work for me. She says, my other gripe is, so after all this driving, swimming, walking, climbing going on, Al gets on a walkie-talkie, calls Morgan, and boom. Just like that, Morgan, Alicia magically appear like she was right around the corner from them. I mean, didn't Morgan, Alicia, June, John search the whole forest campground area? Oh, yeah. And the Western Amusement Park? But no. Al, now she's just over there through the bushes looking all clean and refreshed. So how long was she missing? A day? 2 days? 24 hours? 2 hours? I saw rain, dirt, mud, and rock climbing with bare hands, but all she has is a scratch on her face. And to say my reaction to that is, yep. No disagreeing there. Then she says, and this I don't think was part of your weak sauce, but it seemed to fit, so I put this, lumped it in here. She says, this show is losing me slowly but surely with all these incomplete storylines, no conclusions we have to fill in the blanks or cells. Then we get stories thrust into the season as space fillers, I guess. The radioactive lady and now the chopper lady. Oh yeah, the denim factory stealer. Here today, gone tomorrow. These new character introductions that we won't see again. How about spending time writing for the characters that are on the show permanently? Well, I will say, I hear you. One thing that I will say, based on watching it on AMC.com, the first few minutes of the next episode, we do see Grace again next episode. So at least she's not going away. But yeah, I mean, what's his name? Logan. Like, we don't see Max Headroom.
Right.
And, So yeah. I feel it.
Yeah, it's like Dieta, like I had said, you know, several episodes ago, I kind of got to the point where I just had to basically just like kind of let things slide, because some of it does. It's like they're doing this to obviously tell some other kind of bigger story, and we're just getting bits and pieces, or the characters only tell us certain bits and pieces until the time's right. And I just, you know, I'm enjoying it more when I'm just not worrying too much about all the other details.
Yeah.
But that also means that I'm like, then the payoff at least should be entertaining.
All right. Mark, do you have any weak sauce?
Well, I have to agree with you with the whole attraction thing and going from being intimate, and next thing you know, she's going to get her head shot off. That was a bit weak to me.
I mean, I felt the kind of attraction there, but like the whole thing was kind of confusing to me. And I spent a lot of the episode going, huh? What? Huh? Like,
yeah,
what?
It goes from hot to cold. Mm-hmm. And it's just weird.
Yeah.
It's like they were rushing things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. What about you, Kyle?
I mean, I didn't really, there wasn't anything that really stood out that would, I would say, weak. I don't really have anything to add specifically.
Nothing about the gas?
The helicopter? I've suspended all this disbelief in those areas, so. Uh-huh.
Well.
Get to the chopper!
All right. I don't mean to be a Debbie Downer this episode, but I mean, this is just one of those ones. Like I said, saving grace was the portrayal there of Maggie Grace. And I will get her name in a couple minutes when I get a chance to look it up. But the actress portrayed Isabel, who I've never seen her before, so I can't really rely on anything with her, but I thought that their performances were good. But I spent a lot of this episode, I remember season 6, episode 6 of The Walking Dead, I had a very similar impression to that, which is always accountable. Now, ironically, that is the episode that we meet Dwight and, of course, Sherry. And that episode where, you know, they're hinting at the saviors, but, you know, we don't actually see them. And there was, and even with the scenes with Sasha and Abraham, it was all this like weird stunted dialogue that it just felt very artificial and weird. And it wasn't so much like that, but there were certain things that were said that I was just kind of like, what? Why? And I'll get into that more in the what sauce. Thank you, Kyle. You just revealed that Sydney Lemon is her name. So thank you, Kyle. But it was just like, it felt stunted. And especially when Isabel would say certain things, I would be like, you know, that just makes me want to ask more questions than what was answered, you know? So this episode made me feel dumb, or it made me feel like I wasn't paying enough attention to it. And that's, I don't know. I don't like that feeling because I felt that way the first time, but when I watched it the second time, and even the third time, that feeling didn't go away. And I just like, okay, well, either I'm like going senile or something, or I just, you know, having attention issues, or it's just not very clear what's going on. So, I mean, that's what, I don't know. It's just funny. I just wasn't picking up on a lot of this stuff. Or I was, but it just was so, I felt like at the end when they kissed, I'm like, what? Why?
I kind of got that too. It was just kind of like, oh, okay. Like, I guess, okay, do that.
I can't quit you. Made me think Brokeback Mountain. I don't know why, but.
Oh my God.
Anyway.
Yeah. I was just like, I just felt like that she was just like it's towards the end, it's like she was just opening up and letting her guard like down her guard. Like I felt this episode kind of was going in that direction, so at the end that's what I felt. And you know, I kind of, if anything, this kind of story put into place, I guess, for Al's character to, I guess, get more involved with the group. Like she's kind of now turning over this newer side of her to like look at our group as kind of like her family, even though she's been fairly, you know, like always on their side, kind of, you know, working with them. But she has also had this streak where she's just like, oh, no, you know, I'm going to go get the story and I'm just going to go. I don't need to work, you know, Morgan, fine. I'll sneak out and do it myself. So I feel like she's going to be more a team player now. And so maybe that's where they're going with her thing.
Like, we still don't know what Michonne's name is.
Yeah. Not her last name now.
No. Of course, we know her first name, Mark.
Yeah, obviously.
But anyway, we don't know her last name. I don't think that really tells me very much about the character. So when she tells them her last name, which, you know, was a mouthful, great. But why make her tell them that then? And why the last name? Like, if she's going to open up, why that? Why not explain why she's trying to go after these stories or something like that? Like, to me, giving the last name like that just seemed like a strange choice that doesn't really tell anything about you. Like, you know, telling people my last name is Meloche, I mean, what does that tell you? I'm French-Canadian originally. Okay, great. So I guess that tells you something. Okay, well, she's Polish. So great. Okay.
Well, I know, but then you saw Morgan's reaction. He was just like, okay. And I think Alicia, too, were like,
yeah, well,
that's great.
Yeah.
Double barrel Polishing, we should say.
Yeah, right. I honestly think that it has to do that it's her opening up in some little way to these people. And that's the only reasoning for it. It's like she's going to start to open up, and that's when we're going to get her real story from her directly.
That's fine. But I just thought that choice of last name to give a little hint that she was opening up. I mean,
It was a lot.
It didn't seem to be anything that much.
Significant.
We don't know what June's last name is, you know?
We don't even know if that's her real name.
That is true. It could be a complete lie.
Her name could be May, for that matter.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't get the chance to ask Jenna this weekend, so we don't know.
Well, according to her blurb that we play on the podcast, her name is June, not Laura, not Naomi. So we'll go by that, but we don't know her last name, but maybe now it's Dory. June Dory.
They got married.
Maybe they got married.
Or even you don't even have to do that. It's the apocalypse. You can do whatever you want. No rules.
Well, look at Glenn and Maggie. So
that's true.
She's Maggie Ree now.
All right. So let's move on to what sauce.
What?
Okay.
All right. Well, we have just one listener's what sauce, and that comes from Erin from the internet. And she says, really, they don't even have Al ask about this future complex? Sure, she wasn't going to get an answer, but she could have asked anyways because it's in character too. Also, if you're building the future, wouldn't you want help? Thus, Al could be labor at least. I'm glad they didn't take her, of course, but story-wise, it felt like filler at times hearing that aspect get brought up.
Erin, I wholeheartedly agree. In fact, I had this in my what sauce. I asked, if they're rebuilding civilization, why are they killing people for the mission? Shouldn't they want to recruit Al to join instead of trying to kill her? Like, it just seems to me, you know, if they're trying to rebuild civilization, maybe they need a reporter. It just seems strange to me. I feel like if they're going to kill everyone that they come across, that to me is not rebuilding civilization. That is,
yeah, it's like it's
something else.
It's not. Yeah, they basically written off the rest of civilization, so they're being. It seems like that's what I thought the same thing too. Cause it's just like, obviously I feel like this makes this group more sinister than it actually does, you know, like, you know, they're, you know, good or like actually do care. Like it's almost kind of like they have their own deal or we don't know about this whole A and the B's, or I guess we kind of understand that, but like, why did they take Rick, you know? And then, you know, it's like, yeah, maybe. There's certain people in this group that like their missions are specific to just gathering stuff. And then they have other people that are specific to recruiting or bringing people in.
And maybe each of these is one of the rings. Like there's, you know, one fundamental tenet or of their civilization, you know, but I don't understand that, because if they're trying to rebuild civilization, they should try to be growing it, and they're not going to be able to grow that naturally with their own population. They are going to have to find people that, especially when you're dealing with individuals, an individual is not going to be able to attack their whatever they're building and destroy it. That's one person can't do that. So if they find someone who seems to be of good character, you ask them the three questions like Rick and the group was, and you'd bring him along. I don't understand. And I think that was part of some of my misgivings on this episode, because I didn't buy what I was hearing. If they're trying to rebuild civilization, you can't rebuild and destroy at the same time. Or, okay, maybe you can, but you wouldn't be killing people to rebuild a civilization. At least to me, you wouldn't. There should be people that are going out trying to find people and rescuing them and bringing them along to this new civilization. Not, you know, whatever they're doing and CRM, which I can't get past. Customer relationship management, because that's what CRM means to me. But anyway, So, Mark, what do you have?
Well, what is with the suits? Like the suit that Isabel had. They are amazing, honestly. I think they're crazy cool. Are they made out of Kevlar or something? You could see the CRM logo on it.
Yeah, the three rings.
It's very right, pretty much right there. That was before the ZA, I think.
Maybe.
But, yeah, this is, you know, this is getting closer to what the comic did with the... All right, I'm not going to go there.
What?
Yeah. It's fitting. Kyle, what about you? What do you have?
I mean, not getting to see more of Al's tape of what was Bog number 7 or the Bog. Because it's like, I want to know more. Like, we got a little kind of a tidbit of basically her backstory, what happened to her and this and that. And actually, that kind of took me back to like basically season 1 Fear of just you know, the whole fall and just ever, you know, what they experienced when things were going down. Cause yeah, just the idea of like, oh, you have like I don't know if it was like the National Guard on one side, the army on the other, and they were like coming in and she's like, oh, they're shooting at each other. But like, where was she and how did she escape? So
yeah,
it was like beep, it just cut off and you're like, oh, okay.
I mean, that was kind of a taste of the missing 9 days that we didn't get. So I guess I'll give that a little bit of an awesome sauce, but I can't give it a full awesome sauce because like you said, we really didn't get to see it.
Yeah.
So
well, we got nothing really, just a few pieces.
I appreciate the reference to it.
Yeah.
So I already gave one of my what sauces, but the other thing is like, okay, you guys got to help me here. Why were they rock climbing? Did I miss the reason why that came into play? Because that seemed to come out of nowhere for me. And I mentioned it in my rating. We hadn't seen that clip before. And after she gets, you know, away, we don't see it after. So
yeah.
Where was it in relationship to the rest of our crew? And why did we not see it? Now, I know that there is an escarpment of sorts that's in Texas that seems to fit the bill here. And I imagine, I can't remember the name of it, but I know that there is one that runs along Texas, like a certain stretch of the state of Texas. So I imagine that that's whatever this escarpment was, but how come we never seen it before? If this was, you know, a part, and for that matter, okay, if this is part of the reason why you can't drive in, that it's impassable because of this and rock slides and all this stuff, it's like, okay, so we got a little bit of a hint of it, so I'll accept that, but it's so strange, it's almost retconning, you know? It's kind of not explained till now, so it's kind of like they retconned it.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Basically, information we could have used yesterday.
Right.
Once again, things that could have been brought to my attention yesterday!
It just was obviously convenient for them that they didn't have to even explain or do anything. They could just have Al say, oh, the roads were impassable, to like, oh, now there's like these like basically tall enough rocks that you have to, you know, do rock climbing gear just to get up. I mean, yeah. The whole thing with regardless of like, yeah, the rock climbing, like where did it come from besides them just because they could do it? I felt like the only reason that they even like had this was because, oh, of course, that's where the helicopter, like whatever this group, they had a, you know, that supply station. You know, I don't know if those things are placed everywhere or did they drop that before this team came in? Because she was saying it's like, oh, basically the fuel's up there. You can only get there with the helicopter, but she somehow ran out of fuel before. And so.
Well, they should have had Michael Rooker as a zombie because he was in the movie Cliffhanger. And oh, him God. Hanging off the side of a cliff as a zombie would have been awesome.
Well, so anyway, I wanted to say, like, I listened to some of it, didn't get to hear the whole thing, but Diana on Aim for the Head, she was talking about this a little bit on her podcast for this episode. And, you know, she brought up that at one point they had said that the roads were impassable, I think in the first episode. And then finally in this episode, they mentioned again that the roads were impassable. Okay. Why are the roads impassable? Are they impassable because of the storm or rock slides or zombies or blah, 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 you know?
The abominable snowman.
Yes. Yes.
Rudolph.
I was speaking in tongues there, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was it some, you know, mystery impassable reason? I think it's probably all of the above, but the problem that I have is even when we see a rock slide, it's not very well described as to why the roads are impassable. It's like, if that's what it is, if it's rock slides, if it's weather, if it's zombies, if it's something else, okay, but you could just take 5 seconds and make it crystal clear so that dumbasses like me don't bring it up anymore. I don't think I'm a dumbass, by the way.
No. And well, but I totally like get exactly what you're saying, because it's like, okay, you think of like, oh, a rock slide. Well, yeah, maybe after a years and years and years and years, a face of some little cliff might slowly get weathered away to break and then cause a rock slide. But when you drive near a thing, especially if you're driving on a road, that's not something that typically happens. So it's like, if it was raining and storming while they were there, then yeah, then that would make more sense, because like, oh yeah, there's a storm, there's something that might have caused that, not just be like, they just happened by chance to be exactly at that place when exactly those rocks were getting weak enough to fall. You know, there weren't like, walkers all on top of it. We saw a shot of these walkers all on top of the thing wandering around that would have caused maybe weight or something. You know, it's, I get it. It's just, they're just being lazy and they just like, oh, I know it would be cool. Cue rock slide.
Yeah. And like, it even looked like an orderly rock slide. Like, you know, two little chunks of rock that were uniform in their size and dimension and distance and how they were perfectly, you know, rectangular in them coming out of the, you know, rock formation. That's right. What I saw anyway. It just, I mean, I didn't really buy the whole thing, but I was willing to let that slide. So I didn't really criticize the show too much for that. But like I say, didn't work for me. I'm sorry. All right. Let's move on to our sad / aw sauce. We got both of those.
Aww. And Aaron from the internet gives an aw sauce of Al got some loving. I admit they went hard on all the romance lines, and you could see that hookup coming 20 miles off, but still it was sweet she got some progression for her tape obsession and a lip lock. Smiley face. And her sad would be, the kiss wasn't with Alicia.
So I guess we know who's shipping who.
Yeah, exactly.
It's Alicia Athia.
All right, Mark, what do you have?
I have some sad sauce. And my sad sauce would be, sad to see that Al had to leave Isabel, and it would have been a story we would want to see. Sad to see that we won't see this story come into the season if it continues the way it does, because I have a funny feeling we're not going to see the end of this.
I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if we do. This does seem to be the kind of thing that I could see them going to again.
Well, I don't want to see us get Rickrolled and then us rolling into a Rick movie. You know, Rickroll.
Yes, I get it. I don't really know if that deserved a rim shot, though. Okay, well, let's move on to our regular feedback. Unless I should ask, Cal, do you have anything?
Nope, I do not.
Okay. All right. So let's move on to our regular feedback and cue Simon and Rick again.
We can talk about it.
We're done talking. Time to listen.
All right. So we've got a voicemail from Alex from New Jersey.
Hey, guys. It's Alex from New Jersey. I just wanted to leave some feedback from season 5 of Fear, Everything, or The End of Everything. I gave it 8 out of 10 fork-added guns. I love that that gun, and that's my first awesome sauce. Isabel's gun was awesome. You never have enough good pitchfork guns, and she kicks some absolute butt. My other main awesome sauce was Al. She killed it. Loved the fact that they focused the episode on her and her story. I think that, you know, she is so resilient. I loved her line that she doesn't stay in cars when told. Good thing. I thought she was going to have the tape all along. Some more awesome sauce was just the fact that you have cliffhanger walkers. That's some great stuff. They always try to find a new way to have a walker, and love to know how that guy died. My what sauce, or I don't know sauce, what is with this group? This group is just crazy, this three circle group. You know, they want to help humanity, but they don't want to tell anybody. What are they, the secret society of nobody cares? I mean, you know, make up your mind. Either you want to help communities or not. You know, Isabel was, I liked her character, but, and it gave us, it actually moved the story. That's what I really liked about this episode. It really moved the story along. My awe sauce was, you know, obviously we had a little lip locking with Al and Isabel. Bow chicka bow wow. I think that it, like I said, on the whole, I think it was a great episode. It really moved the story along. And now we have, at the end, we have a whole gaggle of kids that are going to storm the castle of, Max Headroom. Have a great podcast. Can't wait to hear your responses and see you soon.
Thank you so much, Alex, for your feedback. Much appreciated. That's the only voicemail that we got this week. So,
yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you, Alex.
I don't get the three rings either.
It's we obviously know that it has something to do with the movies, or who knows? It's a gimple.
3/5 of the Olympics. So maybe they don't have discus or shot put or something.
I do have to agree, the weapon was pretty cool. I was going to add that, but I knew it was being brought up. So
yeah, I agree on that. It was kind of a cool weapon.
Very handy.
And I thought originally that she had like a bayonet, you know, just a straight, mm-hmm. like, you know, blade, but it was basically like a triple bayonet. So it was kind of a pitchfork and a gun. Mark, anything you have to say?
Not really, no.
Okay. Just take that out. All right. So we've got some regular written feedback. Mark, why don't you start with our first one?
Aaron from the internet says, I feel because of my love for Al, I have to do a quick write-in this week, so here we go. I really enjoy episodes that do character have heavy focuses instead of being action-oriented, and it's bonus when the episode features a character you really enjoy. So for that, I'd have to say this is probably my favorite episode of the season so far. It wasn't big and splashy on effects, and it honestly didn't progress the story or reveal anything on the characters we didn't already guess. But it was just a good story of two people working together because they have to, and Al being all sassy and the bad guy having some complexity. Even if it didn't feel fully earned that Isabel would make out with this new person she planned to kill just hours before, so I enjoyed it. I know John and June had their episode like this recently, but I like them. I don't love them like Al comparatively, and they brought in Dwight, which, as you know, I'm against the Walking Dead people coming over unless it's Michonne, so I enjoyed this episode more. More in-depth thoughts, of course, come in the blog post. Smiley face.
All right, our next listener feedback comes from Glenn, is from Toronto, and she says, Al shouting, "Hey, Baldy," at the walker to encourage it to come over to the car reminded me of Carl shouting in that house to bring out the walkers when he was acting up with Rick in The Walking Dead, the season 4, episode 9. And also when Carl was being blasé with the walkers when he was exploring the suburbs and in the house in the same episode when the specific walker overran him. The walkers appearing out of the mud to attack Al when she had the protective gear jacket on remind me of poor Megan from season 4, episode 8 of The Walking Dead when she got attacked by the buried, muddied walker. The glimpse or intro into this group makes me chomp at the bit for the Walking Dead movies. Of course, Isabel wouldn't mention the name or location, and Al agreeing and following it to the letter of not divulging the info to anyone of this mysterious group, not even to go and scrounge those two areas and the other areas on the map marked with the circle X, which I'm sure Al would have been able to recall from memory, that provided the locations of the fuel and supplies, which would have been a benefit to her group. Maybe there comes a time when she'll let the cat or helicopter out of the bag, like Tara had to tell all regarding Oceanside when the survivors needed weapons in, you know, The Walking Dead Season 7, Episode 15, and or revisited later in The Walking Dead, since we the viewers are now armed with that info, too, and shouting at the TV to tell them of the chopper and the group.
Get to the chopper!
Yeah, I feel like that's... For Al to just be like, oh, yeah, like, I'm totally not going to say another word. Like, she might start off like that. So I feel maybe this might be another... it could be a terror move. It's like when information comes up that the group needs or something, she'll be like, oh, yeah, so when I was out there running around, I did meet the person in the chopper. You know, like, I feel like I could see that happening. Whether it does, that's another, you know, question.
And it's kind of ironic if that ends up being the case, because, of course, you know, Tara was also lesbian. And although maybe she didn't have that kind of relationship with Cindy, it was kind of hinted at a little bit that maybe something could develop if given a chance there. But yeah, ironic, I would say. And I'll take the rest of Glennis's feedback here. She says, this new group is very well organized, but strident and ruthless with their reclamation team, who will dish out whatever punishment to follow protocol or operational survival and adhere to policy. Like Negan's no exceptions rule. Yeah, for that matter, I don't want to have to come in contact with the reclamation team. That sounds a little bit scary.
Yeah.
The backstory on the bog was sad that Al lost her brother and chased the story rather than stay with her brother. But I thought that the bog tape was a story of how she got the SWAT truck. So I hope they cover that story eventually. Yeah, good point. Mm-hmm. I did get the romantic vibe when Isabel and Al were in the car and wondered then and thus was then confirmed in the scene when Isbell was summoning up the courage to shoot Al. I'm glad Al was spared, for now. Since on Fear the Walking Dead and The Walking Dead, characters tend to die when their backstory is revealed. Oh, yes. Or they become the moral compass.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Luciana, you're still on target here. Last thing she says is, this new group is maybe building towards a better future, but killing people along the way that cross their path and behaving like an exclusive club doesn't sound to me like a positive environment to build a thriving society in. Dictatorship always seems to prevail in the apocalypse. Glynis, that's what I was trying to say earlier. Well said. Well said, I must say. I must give you for that, because you just said it better than I did. All right, so let's move on to our own notes. Mark, what do you have?
Well, why would this end like that? I wanted more about Al and Isabel, and more information about where she came from. You know, where Isabel came from. I'm a little bit upset about that. And I noticed something similar to The Walking Dead and Fear the Walking Dead during Skidmark. Daniel and Jadis were pretty much doing the same thing. They were doing something, whether it be getting stuff for someone or getting people. Maybe he left Strand and the gang where he was staying for those people. I'm not saying CRM, but it could be Logan and his people.
Hmm.
Maybe Daniel was collecting things and people for whoever, you know.
Hmm. Those are interesting points.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I my mind was scrambling because I was watching Skidmark again. And like, wait a minute, I'm seeing a lot of things that are similar to the Garbage Pail Kids and
oh god,
and Daniel and what he was doing, because he was left in that little warehouse. And you know, why would he collect a plane? Why would he collect an RV? Why would he collect all these records? Like somebody we knew that was a short-haired older woman with glasses that had two guards with her, you know, things like that.
Yeah, and Georgie, I think you're talking about.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like this group either, you know? So it's kind of perplexing to me. So unless somehow that seems to be, but it doesn't seem to be. Like Georgie's modus operandi, you know, kind of like, you know, putting little seeds here and there, you know, getting kind of trade and stories and, you know, sharing knowledge and stuff like that. That does not sound anywhere near what the CRM three ring circus group.
Yeah.
Like we talked about, or I think Venn diagram.
Yeah. Which is completely different from where the comic of The Walking Dead is. So you have several groups or several sections that are doing odd things. So I'm curious as to where this all leads. So this is so intriguing to like just speculate from that standpoint, Fear standpoint, and The Walking Dead, because obviously everything leads, all these roads lead to Rick at some point.
Yeah. That's
Or it could just end abruptly.
Oh, come on. I'm already crying about that.
Really? Oh, that's in the news, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
We'll get
Kyle, what do you have?
Well, just to go back on like Mark's kind of comments though, just like this group, for some reason, and not why it happens, I keep getting, what's the word? Like, I want to scream it. It's like Valhalla, from Mad Max. Like, just like they're this group that is just like not a good group that don't have, everybody's like, I don't see them being like the Commonwealth or like, and I don't even, not that far even in the comics. It's just like, they seem to be like trying to actually do something. This group, I feel like we're getting the idea of like, it's, you know, all or nothing and they're doing their own thing. So I don't know, but maybe that's what the show is doing different than the comics. So
yeah, I mean, like I say, I don't understand, how you're going to build a civilization if you're just going to kill the people that come across them. It doesn't make sense to me. It seems to fly right in the face of how could you grow a civilization if you're killing the civilization off?
Right. Yeah.
Doesn't make sense.
Well, so then my other comment though was going into like, cause it was just weird. Cause like did Isabel and her team cause the meltdown at the nuclear plant? I mean, I don't think they caused the meltdown, but she did talk about like that they were there to get water purification.
Yep.
And there was this nuclear plant, but then her friend that she shot, Tobin, or I think I just
Tobin.
I just picked that name out of nowhere just because I know I've heard who we had Tobin.
Oh, poor Tobin.
Sorry, Tobin. But yeah, it was like she talked about this plant and it just makes me think, it's like, well, does Grace know who she is or did Grace come across them? Like, what were they doing at that plant that her friend saw what happened and then didn't want to be a part of it or became a part of it or, you know, whatever. That's just like, that was that one connection. And I'm like, what happened then? Did you, like, yeah, this group or what your mission was, did you cause that? And that's what Grace is now trying to, or was she a part of it?
I don't know that but these were kind of similar things that I was wondering myself about that. Like, for example, water purification. I'm glad you brought that up because I was going to bring that up. Like, okay, why do they have to go to this area that seems to be blocked off, you know, supposedly impassable, only accessible via aircraft to get water purification stuff? Like, water purification is not rocket science, okay? You start with some sand. I mean, sand, rocks, you know, was it sphagnum moss or something like that, an iodine source, something like that. That gets you most of the way in. And of course, boiling water. Right. That gets you the way. Like, to me, water purification isn't all that. So, like, I don't get that. It doesn't make a lot of sense. I understand needing to purify water, but to me, it's not rocket science. Like,
did you see the match that she had?
I did.
Yeah. Like, that was not just any kind of normal match. Like, she had this specialized, like, probably can light, you know, in any kind of weather, this and that. If they had the technology for that kind of stuff or supplies that, I think they would know how to set up a water purification system.
Yeah. I was looking into it and, you know, attempts to purify water had been going back for hundreds of years.
Right.
I mean, people were doing experiments with sand, like, I think way back in the 16 or 1700s. So, like, this is not rocket science. Right. And I must bring it up yet again. If you want to, you know, sterilize your water, you could distill it, you can boil it, and those things kill any amoebas or bacteria in the water. And of course, distilling water, it's pure water. So anyway, my point being that I would think that water purification wouldn't be a thing that you'd have to fly into some, you know, difficult zone to get. So that was almost a what sauce, but I felt like at some point I started piling on, so I didn't want to bring it on. But that's not really the end of the story, is it? It's not the end of everything, is it? We're going to see these two together, aren't we? I mean, I can't see, like, at least by the end of the season or something, these two are going to meet up again. And because otherwise it just, I can't see this being a one-off like that. But in the end, I have to say it was the end of everything that makes sense. Cause I'm sorry. I found this one kind of boring, and it was a good character examination of Al and good performances. But for me, the relationship was, while there was definitely some chemistry there, it didn't quite work. And yes, I get the kind of relationship that can't quite work, but this was different. It was just like, you know, but you get my point is like, what was the point of that episode other than to introduce us to this strange
new group?
Group. It reminded me a lot of Always Accountable. A lot of the similar kind of questions that I had asked myself about that episode, I have to ask about this episode. And like I said, after three viewings, I just like, I don't get it. Just didn't work for me. And I made me wonder, like, what the heck was I missing? But I don't know. Sorry. Don't mean to be a Debbie Downer, but no. That's how it hit me. So let's move on to news, ratings, and info.
What the hell is happening?
I have no idea.
Well, here's a little bit of good news. Ratings are up. Albeit slightly, but we'll take any victory we can get. Fear the Walking Dead got a 0.46 in the 18 to 49 with 1.708 million viewers. That's not great, but it is up from the all-time low of 0.45 in the 18 to 49 with 1.655 million viewers, which I should mention, I said the record low wasn't the record low number of viewers, but it was the record low rating. So, and of course, again, no Talking Dead. So we can't publish their ratings, or maybe their ratings were 0.0. Anyway, yep. Non-existent.
Do you think them not having the Talking Dead has actually been beneficial or not great for the show?
I don't think it's been great for the show.
I kind of agree.
Yeah, I don't think it's been great. I think what's worse is they're not giving us as much of the like behind the scenes kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So we're not getting that kind of flavor, and they're not highlighting, you know, the good things about the show or the, you know, the cool stunts and stuff like that. So we're getting none of that this time. However, I will say that there was another AMC video that took a look at the relationships that we're seeing in season 5 that was released with this episode. It was about a 10-minute video, and it covers the first 5 episodes, and I felt it was worth watching, and it did make me appreciate the Isabel Althea relationship a lot more than I did after I think I watched it on the second. In between the second and the third watch, I watched it, and it made me appreciate it a little bit more because I didn't.
It's like, yeah.
Yeah. I should say, I didn't hate this episode. I didn't hate it. It just didn't work for me. I can't even say that I didn't, that I disliked it. I just didn't like it. It just wasn't my thing, you know.
Are these videos in the AMC premiere or is this on YouTube? I don't remember if
it's not the one that I saw was on the AMC.com site. I don't know if it's just an AMC premiere only thing, but I have seen
their website.
If it's not on YouTube, it will be added to YouTube like sometime this week. But I didn't go looking. But in the past, the last, you know, few weeks when they've released these longer form inside, videos, they've had it on YouTube sometime during the week. So if it's not there now, it will be.
Okay.
One thing of note, you may have picked up on this before, something about this episode. We thought that this episode was directed by Sarah Wayne Callies. That is what we were led to believe based on certain things that we had heard. But she didn't direct the episode. So I don't know if that means that she didn't direct or that she is directing some other episode, maybe next episode, and they changed the order or something. I don't know. But it wasn't this episode, so we'll see. But I'm certainly going to watch for it for next episode just to see where things lie. So as far as news, there's one big, well, it's not news yet, but it certainly will be news by the time you get this episode. But there's been a little more than a rumor that issue 193 of The Walking Dead will be its last. Butthurt.
Hey.
Why can't Walking Dead keep going? Anyway.
Oh, I know. Anyway. There was always going to be an end. Come on.
So if this proves to be true, and, you know, I don't know, is this worth a spoiler or is this worth, I don't know.
By the time this comes out, it's already, because they already announced it.
I think it's going to be news. So, Mark, you're current on the comics. I'm like 192 issues behind. I think I'm 191 issues behind. So you're current. So what's your take on this? And maybe you can release the spoiler of the previous issue of what happened.
So basically, the last episode or issue in the Walking Dead comic, the final result was the end of Rick Grimes. He dies.
Do we know that he died?
Yes.
Okay.
He comes back as a zombie, and Carl puts him down. And that one issue.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was a cliffhanger. All you saw with the previous in 191 was him getting shot and saying, "How could you?" Or to some effect. And we take up on 193 where everything is cozy, this and that and the other. And, you know, Carl goes about his day, comes up to his father's door. The door is ajar. He comes in, sees a zombie and shoots it right in the head. And it's his father. And it's the end result of dealing with Rick's death throughout the whole comic. They find the person and they deal with him in a civil way. And Carl uses Negan tactics in a way to intimidate the kid that's in the jail. But I saw this coming 10 issues previous when Andrea died in the comic. That was Rick's love interest within the comics. And yes, Andrea is still alive and was still alive in the comics all throughout that time. It was very different from the actual show. So basically, Rick's gone. How do we deal with this afterwards? And Robert has been saying that for years that when Rick dies, that would be the end of the comic. But he's been egging us on over the past year or two, saying that, oh, it will continue even on, even if Rick dies. So now we have this where it's abruptly stopping because he doesn't have anything. He can't really pursue or continue on with the other story arcs of the characters, apparently. So he just wants to end it. So I kind of figured that was going to happen come the time when Andrew died. And I'm like, that's a pivotal death right there in the comics. So now Rick's gone. That's the extreme death. Who's left? Are they going to kill Carl in this last issue? Who's, you know, are they going to time jump in some way? Because they've been alluding to the idea that Negan would come back because he disappeared for about 30 to 40 issues at this point. And it was interesting to see because the last time we saw him is like the last time we saw him with Maggie in the TV series.
Are you kidding me?
Exactly. So he was crying and begging for his life, begging her to kill him and all this good stuff. And next thing you know, she just leaves him because she thinks he's a pathetic mess. So Robert's been alluding to the idea that Negan would come back, and everybody thought that Negan would take over where Rick left off. But from
because
my guess is that that's not going to happen. I think we're going to find something. And that the cover art for this actual comic is very, very interesting, because all you see is a Zed walking up to some sort of, community or something, which reminds me of Alexandria. So I anticipate getting this issue tomorrow.
Hmm. So you think he just, once he decided to kill Rick, that was it? I mean, I thought that the story was supposedly Carl's story, and that the story would live on in Carl.
You would think.
In the comic, obviously not in the TV show.
Yeah, you would definitely think that this was the Grimes family story, because if Rick's gone, the last person that's left is Carl. What does this mean? We don't know. You know, in the comic that we get tomorrow, does Carl die at the end of the comic?
As a very old man.
I'm assuming that this is going to be a whole reflection comic. And I have a funny feeling, since they've already done it in the show, I think Robert decided, I'm just going to time jump, and it's going to be a reflection of Carl at this point, from the time that his father died up until now, and certain panels. So I encourage everybody out there just to go read it if you can, because this is a pivotal, comic at this point. You know, this is something that everybody should have.
Do you think that the next Talking Dead that we have is going to have Robert Kirkman, and he's going to have to answer to
fans,
Hardwick, to Chris Hardwick's going to, you ended the comic, what's up? I was kind of being a little bit of a poop disturber, so to speak, earlier, when I was like asking, you think maybe he was like got fed up with The Walking Dead after AMC's trying to wring every last dollar out of it? No. Or, or do you think that was just always his intention? Because, I mean, I'd heard him talk about going 300 issues.
Robert has always stated that he wanted it to be the whole Rick Grimes story. And I read a couple of interviews with him. Obviously, I'm not related to him. Everybody
keeps saying Robert like he's like a relative.
But I'm sorry, I can't say my name in the third person. Sorry. But regardless, he has always said that in previous interviews, that once they've established some sort of community, in a sense where they could live and prosper, and there's no need for a Rick Grimes, then that would be the end of the actual comic. So
except for the fact that it's not safe enough that wouldn't prevent someone from killing him.
Well, I think that's where the story lies in. And I think that's where it was, because Carl is being seen in the last issue talking to the kid that killed Rick in the jail, saying, this is where you'll rot. This is where you'll live. And I'll come here every day to make sure you know that.
Right.
In his own way. And it shows pretty much the Negan in him, what he learned from Negan, and also the father in him saying, we want justice, because that's what he was trying to revel in. So basically, the Negan in him is going to be constantly attacking this kid in jail as he grows older.
Well, I want to cut it off there, because right now we're just speculating into what's in the comic. And by the time listeners hear this episode, the comic will be out.
Exactly.
So I will say, listeners, we're going to cut it off at this point and say, you can see how much stuff we're talking about ends up being true. Whether or not, I'm skeptical that this is the end. Like, maybe it's going to get rebooted, or it's going to be The Walking Dead California.
It'll be overseas. Let's do something like Walking Dead.
Well, I mean, they're doing Typhoon, they say, that Chinese one in novel form. But the point being that there could be, something else in the universe maybe it's not ending, or it's rebooting. You know, it's rebooting or what have you. We'll pick this up next week. If it's so massive that we need to have a separate episode for it, that we can talk about that. I don't know. I'm not promising that. I'm just saying we'll pick this up next week and we'll see where things lie. So
yeah,
because at this point, if this was a month down, we'd keep talking. But at this point, it's going to get released tomorrow. So you know, people will know the answers. So we'll talk about it next week.
Everybody get a comic.
There you go. So that's it for this episode. So Kyle, why don't you tell people how to interact with us?
All righty. If you want to interact with us, I want to encourage you to follow us on Twitter, and you can find us at Walking Dead GSM. If you want to submit your theories and feedback, most people post in our designated episode thread in our Facebook group, and you can find us at facebook.com/groups/WalkingDeadGSM. You can also use our email address to send us emails, and that's at WalkingDeadGSM@gmail.com. And there's also a feedback forum at GoldenSpiralMedia.com/feedback. And it is functioning again, so you can send text or audio there, and you can find our SpeakPipe widget, or you can also call 304-837-2278.
We should warn you next week that we've all got something going on in our normal night of podcasting, which is you normally record this Tuesday nights. Next Tuesday night, the three of us will be on another teleconference, so we won't be able to podcast next Tuesday. So we're going to do the recording one day early. I don't know if that's going to mean any difference in terms of when you get it. Theoretically, it could, but I don't know. Basically, because we're going to be busy that Tuesday night anyway. So, but we do have to record on Monday night next week. So your deadline for next week's episode, season 5, episode 6, will be 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central, Monday, July 8th. That's again, Monday, July 8th. The best way you can support us is by subscribing to us in Apple Podcasts. Go to goldenspiralmedia.com/apple. And while you're there, give us a rating or review. That'll help other people find us. And other ways you can support the network, go to goldenspiralmedia.com/support. Shit. Okay. All right. So I should mention that just this week we released our season 2 roundtable for the Star Trek Discovery podcast. And that was a lot of fun. We had several of the listeners that are regular contributors to the podcast on there, and had a nice, good, I think it was 2 hours and 22 minute roundtable discussion about season 2. So you can get that at StarTrekDiscoveryPodcast.com. The Facebook group is Facebook.com/groups/StarTrekDiscoveryPodcast. If you listen to Ruthie and I on there, join us. I also want to highlight the fact that on Sunday, I recorded an episode of The Edge, which is Trek FM's podcast for Star Trek Discovery. And we did an episode discussing the Sarek and Amanda Grayson family. So basically, Spock and Michael Burnham, who is his foster sister that we are introduced to on Star Trek Discovery. A whole bunch of things and revelations have come out in Star Trek Discovery in season 1 and particularly in season 2. And we covered a lot of that. And this was a really interesting discussion. And that should be out in the next week or so. So stay tuned for that. Mark, what about you?
Well, you could find me at Panels to Pixels on the Next Level Podcast Network. And we're currently doing season 3 of Jessica Jones. Expect to hear a review of Spider-Man Far From Home eventually. We're going to be doing that, and that's coming up soon too as well.
All right, so our next episode is season 5, episode 6, which is titled The Little Prince. So that's, of course, that book that we keep seeing since last season. We don't know who it's written by. We don't know who it's directed by. Maybe it's Sarah Wayne Callies. Maybe it isn't. The description is as follows. And I got this off of Google, so I don't know where this came from, but facing impossible odds, Luciana and the group work together to tackle an impossible task while Morgan helps prevent disaster. An old friend presents Sarah, Charlie, and Strand with a solution. So until next time, I'm Brian.
And I'm Kyle.
And I'm Mark.
And this is Fear, the Walking Dead Talk Through. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.